Welcome to the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best doubles strategies to improve your game and win more matches. I'm your host, Will Bocek. This podcast, my website, and my weekly newsletter all focus on the goal of better understanding the sport of doubles and helping players like you improve faster through actionable advice that you can use in your very next match. My goal is to provide the best doubles strategy resources in the world. And to do that, I study, analyze, and work with players at every level of the game, all the way up to the ATP and WTA tours. If you enjoy this podcast, I've created double strategy products that go even deeper if you want to take your doubles knowledge to the next level. At the end of this episode, I'll explain more about them, or if you want to learn more now, go to thetennistribe.com/products. Here's today's episode. Hey everyone, today we're going to talk about how to counter different doubles game styles. So at the club level, there's really three different kind of styles of teams that I see, and I want to talk about each of those, including the teams that push and lob a lot, teams that get to the net and apply a lot of pressure, and how to counter or how to play against some of those teams. So I'm going to go over some specific tactics, things to look for, on the doubles court so that you can have a game plan against each of these types of teams. This is the first solo strategy episode that I've done in a while. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the WTA finals interviews, I'd highly recommend those, especially the interviews with Demi Schuurs and Kirsten Flipkens and Dan Kiernan. Those were a little bit more in-depth. They were about 15 minutes each, and there's some good strategy insights on there, as well as a very brief guest appearance from Ons Jabeur on that Kirsten Flipkens episode, which was kind of funny as well. So before we dive into this episode, a quick announcement. The League Doubles Training Masterclass is live. I've been working on it for a few months now, and it's going to be 30% off today. So this episode's released on Wednesday, November 15th. It's going to be 30% off through Sunday, which is the 19th. So you can check it out below in the show notes. I'm going to link to it. What it is basically is a training masterclass for league doubles. So I got an email a few months ago from a captain of two different teams that were headed to USTA Nationals. He wanted me to help train them and get them ready for Nationals. So we set up a call. And on that call, there are 3-0, 3-5, and 4-0 level players. On the first call, I created a PowerPoint style presentation, and I went through a framework for them to use to create a better game plan with their partner going into each match, as well as different things to look for on the court to make adjustments throughout the match. So the great thing about this style of presentation is that I have actual club level doubles players on the call. So they ask questions in between each section that might come up for you. So with most of my content, I don't have this available. I don't have somebody actually sitting there listening to me that can deliver feedback to me and that can ask me to clear things up, or that can say, you know, this happened recently in one of my matches, and how do you think I should handle this? So you're going to hear all of that dialogue, which is super, super valuable. And then after the first call, they went back and implemented some of the tactics that I talked about for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then we had a second call where they sent me several questions ahead of time, and they asked a few more questions on that call as well. And during that one, you're going to hear our dialogue, and then I'm also going to be presenting on the whiteboard as well, going over different scenarios and answering all their questions. So some of the topics that are covered, and there are a total of 22 lessons, not including the welcome video and some of the bonuses that I'm still working on getting uploaded right now. But a couple of the questions are how to cover the middle. So if you have two back, or one up, one back in the deuce court, one up, one back in the ad court, and then both up, I cover all of those scenarios. How do we cover the lob? What are some of the best return tactics against the I formation or Australian formation? If you lost the first set, what are the best options for you to turn the match around? What should you talk about with your partner after you lose that first set? What are some of the best return strategies against a player who has a really big first serve and a really soft second serve? You see that all the time at the club level. We go over warm-up and pre-match routines, whether you have a tennis court to warm up on or if you don't, which happens a lot in league doubles. We go over playing with a weak doubles partner. We go over exposing a weak opponent. So a lot of times at the combo level or mixed doubles, you might have one strong player, one weak player. I go through all of the different scenarios for how to handle that. We go over choosing return sides. There's some very specific examples that they ask about and a lot more. So again, it's 30% off through Sunday. I'm going to link to the sales page in the show notes. And then on that page, you can actually see a free preview of the course in the video on that page, and it should answer all of your questions. But if you do have any other questions about it, you can reach out to me as well. And there's four different ways to buy. So you can buy it for yourself. You can buy it for yourself and your doubles partner. You can also buy it for yourself and your doubles partner and include a one-hour strategy call with me where I'll help you and your doubles partner create a game plan and create kind of that framework that you can use to better improve your in-match strategy. And then there's also a team option as well. So if you are a captain of a league team, then you can buy that and everyone on your team will get access and we'll do a one-hour strategy call as well. And all of this helps support the podcast and all of the free content that I'm able to put out there. So I really, really appreciate everyone who does support and enrolls in these courses. So thank you for that. And let's dive into this episode. So when we're talking about different doubles game styles, this topic kind of came up for me when I was in Cancun at the WTA Finals. So I sat down, I think this was the first or second day of the tournament, and I was watching Gabby Dabrowski and Aaron Ratliff, and they played against Coco Gauff and Jessica Pegula. And I talked about this a little bit with Dan Kiernan on that episode. So if you didn't listen to that, go back and listen to that one. It was a recent episode where I sat down with him in Cancun. But Gabby and Aaron had a very specific game plan against Coco and Jessica, and it was very clear from the outset. They actually did get down 5-2 in the first set. They came back and won 7-6. In the second set, they won, I think it was 6-2 or 6-3, I believe, pretty straightforward. And their game plan worked so well. And I really had never seen a team just refuse to get into baseline rallies as much as Gabby and Aaron did in this match. There was pretty much no point at all where either of them hit more than one topspin groundstroke from the baseline in a row. So it would be topspin forehand cross court, then the next ball would be redirected the net player or lob down the line or a chip cross court and come in behind it. They were always using variety. So it got me thinking about these different doubles game styles and how to counter each of them. So we're going to start with when you play against a team that kind of plays straight up. This might be two singles players and the net player doesn't move a whole lot. It might be doubles players, but they're not particularly great at the strategy. They don't poach a lot. And this is kind of representative of that, this match between Coco and Jessica and Gabby and Aaron. So obviously Coco Gauff, Jessica Pegula are two of the best singles players in the world as well. And Gabby and Aaron are just not going to be able to hang with them from the baseline. So Coco and Jessica were playing one up, one back. They played straight up. They did both get to the net a little bit, but you know, they're not as good at that as Gabby and Aaron are, being really doubles specialists. So the best strategy against a team like this, which Gabby and Aaron implemented really to perfection, is to not allow the opponents to get into any sort of baseline rhythm. So like I said earlier, you might hit one groundstroke with topspin from the baseline, and then you're going to mix it up. You've got to change it immediately, because what these players are so good at is just rallying from the baseline. You're not going to beat them with pace. You're not going to beat them hitting deep balls at the baseline. They love to stand behind the baseline and just rip ground strokes. So there's a few things that you can do against this type of team. One is obviously get to the net. If you can get to the net, they're hitting a ground stroke from the baseline, you're at the net. If you trust your volleys against their forehand or backhand from the baseline, then that's a good tactic. Now, a lot of them, especially nowadays with the rackets and the strings and the topspin you're able to generate, a lot of players are going to have trouble with some of those volleys against a really good singles player hitting a forehand from the baseline. So getting to the net might not always be the best or at least a winning strategy. So you're also going to have to poach a lot. You're going to have to lob often. So I talked about redirecting that lob down the line. You might even have to chip the ball short and bring the opponent forward. So some combination of all of these things is going to create a winning strategy against this type of team. And you have to figure out what that is. Some players might really love their forehand and hate their backhand. So in that case, if you're in that deuce court rally, you can use that lob down the line to get them on that backhand side. In that case, that's going to be the best strategy. Now, against, say, Jessica Pegula, her backhand and forehand are both really, really good, but she's a little less comfortable at the net. So for her, it might be to chip the ball short, bring her forward, you follow that chip in, and then you're all four at the net, and you can beat her at the net. You like your odds there. So you have to figure out what it is, but the point is to never get into that baseline rally and don't allow them to get into a rhythm from where they are comfortable. So the next type of team that I see a lot at the club level, really at every level of doubles, is the team that plays two up. They both get to the net, they serve and volley, they like to put pressure on you, and they like to hit winners and force errors with their volleys. So how do you beat a team like this? You really want to be studying this type of team and notice their position, especially in terms of who is closer to the net. So it might be different depending on who's serving and returning, but in each scenario, I would bet that one of the players is going to close into the net a little bit more than the other, and that can dictate what you do with the ball. So if the deuce court player is getting closer to the net, then I want to hit my ground strokes to the ad court player because I'll be able to dip it down lower at their feet. Or if they're both getting pretty close to the net, but the deuce court player is a little closer, I'm going to lob the deuce court player because they are closer to the net. It's going to be tougher for them to get back there and cover that lob. So noticing how close they are to the net once they do get forward is going to be a key tactic to beating this type of team. Now, you do have to have a pretty good lob. Of course, on the serve and volley, hitting a solid cross court return back at the server, or if they're running I or Australian formation, anything you can do to get that first shot back at the server is a good idea. And then if you get that ball low, your partner, that is the returner's partner, should be pinching and looking for a ball to poach on if you hit a quality return. Now, in a lot of cases, if the server's partner is poaching a lot or if they're really aggressive, you might need to play two back against a team like this and really study, again, who's closer to the net, which player is weaker in terms of their volleys, and then which volley is weakest. So it's usually going to be one of the opposing player's backhand volleys. So that way, if you communicate this with your partner, you can know, you know, anytime we get an offensive ball, a neutral ball, we're going at that player's backhand volley. Or, hey, they're closing to the net a lot, and they're getting really close in the deuce court, so we're going to lob next time in that scenario. And then you can get to the net and be in an offensive position. So studying all these things and making adjustments throughout the match will force them to kind of back off of the net, keep them back potentially, and get them out of their comfort zone, which is closing hard and forcing errors and hitting volley winners. So last, we're going to go over the two back kind of pushers or lobbers, which is One of the most common ones that I see at the club level, and one of the ones that frustrates people the most. So when you're playing a team that pushes or lobs a lot, typically the one up, one back formation for you is going to be best. And what that needs to look like is you need to have your most consistent or your best baseline player back at the baseline with the other player at the net. And the reason for this is that baseline player, they need to be consistent enough to be able to not miss as the point develops. They're going to have to, they should not be looking to go for too much. They should not be looking to hit a winner from the baseline, because that is exactly what these teams that push want you to do, and then you're going to beat yourself. So what they need to be doing is finding ways to set up that player at the net. So they've got to focus on consistency, seeking out the opponent's weaknesses, and maybe even bringing them forward to the net themselves. So a lot of times for me, I'm not the strongest player from the baseline, just because I'm significantly better at the net than I am from the baseline. So what that means is, in a lot of scenarios, I will play two back with my doubles partner against teams like this, and then I will serve and volley or return and volley. Typically when I'm serving, I'm not going to play two back. It's happened, I think, twice that I can think of in the last 5 or 10 years or so, against a couple of specific players who were just so good at lobbing that they were totally neutralizing my serve and the net player, that is my partner at the net. But for the most part, I'll still play one up, one back, when I'm serving. But when I'm returning, we'll play two back and I'll return and volley, and we'll get into our kind of ideal positions with my partner back at the baseline and me up at the net, and they're going to be setting me up. So what are some things you should look for as the baseline player? And even if you're the net player, you should be looking for this as well and communicating this back to your partner at the baseline. So one is, most lobbers or most pushers are going to have a weaker side. So there's a particular player I've played against in the past. His forehand lob is much weaker than his backhand lob. His backhand lob always lands within 3 to 5 feet of the baseline. The forehand lob will sometimes land around the service line area. So if we can get it to his forehand side, some percentage of those forehands are going to land around the service line, and I can back up and hit an overhead and stay on offense there. Some of them are going to be in this kind of in-between zone, so you have to make sure you don't miss these overheads. If you get an overhead around that service line area, focus on a high percentage overhead that might get you a shorter one on the next ball, and then you can really try to put it away. But again, the key with this against these teams is to not beat yourself. You have to be really consistent and seek out these weaknesses until you get that really short ball to finish on. A few other things to look for. If you can try to chip the ball short and bring them to the net, that can work against a lot of teams as well. What you're going to find that they'll do a lot of times is run forward, bunt the ball back over the net, and then start to shift backwards. And if you can take that next ball either out of the air or simply step forward and take it early as the baseline player or even as the net player, then you can go right back at them as they start to shuffle back, and you'll catch them kind of in no man's land. And if you can hit it at their feet, they're going to have a lot of trouble with that one, and they'll probably either miss it or give you an even shorter ball that you can put away on the next shot. So that's another tactic you can use against them as well. If they're particularly weaker on one side, the lob down the line is a great way to redirect. If they're playing two back, you're going to want to figure out not only which side's weaker, but obviously which player is weaker at lobbing, and then try to attack them a little bit more. And then also you can figure out which one of them is weaker at the net. So test out early in the match, bringing one forward, then bringing the other forward, hitting at their forehand volley, hitting at their backhand volley. Figure out what you can do to seek out this weakness and come up with a strategy as the match progresses. So hopefully that gives you some ideas on how to play against each of these game styles. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me. Or if there's another game style that comes to mind for you that you struggle against, I'd love to hear it. Maybe I'll do an episode or a video on that as well. But again, thank you everyone for listening. If you can check out the League Doubles Training Masterclass, again, it's live through Sunday at 30% off. I think it's really valuable content. It's almost 3 hours of video content for doubles players who play in leagues. So I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to help you all a lot. So I appreciate all the support, and I will talk to you all soon. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Doubles Only podcast. If you're interested in diving deeper into any topics I discuss, I've created double strategy products that allow me to bring you more podcasts and other doubles content without relying on paid ads. I have ebooks and courses that help you make better strategic decisions during matches and become the smartest player on the court. Go to thetennistribe.com/products to learn more. You can also join my free weekly double strategy newsletter that includes video lessons and more on our homepage. If you want to connect, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or email me directly, will@thetennistribe.com.